to Psalm 119,
105.
Psalm 119,
105. I'm preaching through Psalm 119, and every verse in this long psalm is about the Word of God. The Word of God in some way is mentioned in every verse but two, and you can get it out of that by implication, those two verses. Psalm 119, verse 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I have sworn and I will perform it, that I will keep thy righteous judgments. I am afflicted very much. Quicken me, O Lord, according unto thy word. Accept, I beseech thee, the freewill offerings of my mouth, O Lord, and teach me thy judgments. My soul is continually in my hand, yet do I not forget thy law. Isn't it wonderful how he gets the Word of God in some aspect, precepts, judgment, law, many, many ways he gets the Word of God in here. The wicked have laid a snare for me, yet I erred not from thy precepts. Thy testimonies have I taken as an heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart. I have inclined mine heart to perform thy statutes always, even unto the end. It's a wonderful, wonderful stanza here. 105 to 112, a great portion of this psalm. And let's pray and we'll look at it together. Father, we thank you for the good day you've given us here at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church today. Thank you for the Word of God that was taught in our Sunday school this morning and the Word of God that was preached in this auditorium and our primary and junior church and preschool churches. And thank you, Lord, for your blessing on your people. Thank you for these good songs tonight. Thank you, Lord. There is a place of victory for a child of God in the power of God, signified by Canaan's land. Lord, we know there's many battles, but there's victory for a child of God. And we thank you for that. Pray you'd bless our hearts tonight as we look at this psalm about the Word of God. And Lord, help us to come to a new appreciation for your precious Word. Speak to us, encourage your children, and reclaim that one that's drifting away, and save the lost tonight, and get glory to yourself, and defeat the devil. Now, Lord, anoint me as I preach, and give me help, Lord, or I'll fail. Can't do it without your help. And just bless thy Word now to our hearts, and may the Word of God and the God of the Word and the Christ of the Word be exalted, and we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's do pray for a number of our people that are going to have tests tomorrow. One lady told me not to mention it, so we won't mention her name. And then, let's see, I believe Lucille Buckingham is going to go in for test, and John Fitzgerald, I believe, said this morning he's had very serious tests tomorrow. And so let's do pray for her. Let's don't sin against our people in failing to pray for them when they go to the hospital, in the hospital in time of need or going in for these tests. People are faced tests like that, serious test. They need our help and encouragement and prayers. Let's just stop right now and have prayer for them. Brother Gary, stand up and pray for these. You know them and the other requests to you. Let's pray for them. Yeah. Yes, God. Amen. You know, we as God's people have a tremendous advantage over the unsaved. If you ever stop and think of what What great advantage, because you're in Christ, not because you're who you are, but because who you know. But we have a tremendous advantage over the unsaved. They may think they're living it up and feel sorry for us because we don't do this and don't do that. Listen, don't ever feel sorry for yourself because you're a Christian. I mean, the one who knows not Christ, the one who's out in sin and enjoying the pleasures of sin for a season, they're the one that we should feel sorry for. But the unsaved, we who are saved are on our way to heaven. And the unsaved have no hope in this world, and certainly no hope beyond the grave. And even while we live, we who are saved have a great advantage over the lost man, or woman, or boy, or girl. As we travel life's pathway, we have the Lord God of heaven to help us. Now, these folks are going in for these tests. These folks are going to have surgery. These folks are in the hospital right now. If they're saved, these who are saved can look to the Lord for help. Unsaved man, who does he look to in a time like that? That's a payoff for being saved, being a Christian. We can have the Lord to help us in time of need. And then another great advantage that we as who are saved have over the unsaved, we have the Bible to be our guide down through life. We have the Bible to show us how to live and show us the way. Show us the way home. The unsaved have no guide. Have nothing to chart their course. Have nothing to get direction from. They're just wandering aimlessly down through life. Just wandering as a ship without a course. And we have the Word of God to guide us. And we're not lost on our way home. Lost person just wanders, see. Reminds me, I don't know where Brother Joe, where's Brother Joe Mosier? He was here somewhere. And Brother Joe and I were out hunting one night, rabbit hunting. And I walked down deep into a deep holler, as we say in Tennessee, holler. Hollow, what are you going to call it? But anyway, it was full of briars and bushes and trees. And it was a real deep, long hollow. And it was dark, and I got down in the midst of those bushes and briars and trees, and you know, I couldn't find my way out of there. It was how thick it was and how long and deep and wide it was, and I didn't know which way to go. And it suddenly dawned upon me that I was lost down there. And that, you know, it's a horrible feeling to be lost out like that in the woods and out at night like that. And they say when you're lost, it's been proven you go in circles when you're lost. Just go in circles. And I was here, I guess. I couldn't find my way out of it. I didn't know which way I came. Couldn't remember which way I came in. I couldn't get out of that place. And so here I was, lost in that hollow, around those briars and bushes and trees and everything. And finally, I yelled for Joe, and he heard me. He come back over to the top of the hill, and he yelled up, and I saw his light. When I saw the light and heard Joe, I went right straight up to where Joe was there. And you know, that is sort of the condition of every man, woman, boy, and girl who does not have a heart experience with Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. The Bible doesn't say anything about being unchurched or irreligious, or the Bible doesn't even call them unsaved, really. Did you know that? The word the Bible uses, they're lost. They're lost. Someone who is without Jesus Christ and who has never been saved, they are lost. They're wandering. They have no direction. They're lost. But a Christian has found the way, and he is on his way home. And he can say with a songwriter, I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. And so that there's a great difference in being saved and being lost. Now here in this 14th stanza of the 119th Psalm, we see that a child of God is no longer lost. I like that. He has a light and a lamp to guide him down through life, and that light and lamp is the Word of God. Now here in verses 105 to 112, the psalmist uses the figures of a path, figure of a path, to represent life. And he uses the figures of light and lamp to represent God's word to lighten the path through this dark pathway of life. So the word of God is a light for our pathway. And I want us to just look in these verses here, these eight verses tonight, and just see what the word of God does for us on the pathway of life. First of all, it guides us on our pathway. Look at in verses 105 to 108. In these first four verses of this stanza, I see three areas where the word of God will guide us down the pathway of life. First of all, in 105 and 106, it will guide us in our walk. In 105, the word of God gives us light so we can find the right way to walk. The word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Now, when you stop to think about it, this verse implies something. If you need light, what does that imply? If you need light, what does that imply? It implies darkness, that you're in darkness. You don't need a lamp at 12 o'clock or a light at 12 o'clock midday, do you? Noon. And folks, we're living in darkness. You can put it down. We are living in darkness. And there is moral and spiritual darkness on every hand. What brings darkness? What do you think brings? Just ask, doesn't mean talk to him a little bit. What brings darkness? Well, that's right, but what brings darkness to man? Sin. And who else? Well, I said who? Satan. Sin and Satan brings man into moral and spiritual darkness. Ephesians 6:12 says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world." Folks, we're in spiritual darkness and moral darkness, and there's rulers of darkness. I don't believe in going to seed on Satan and all of his cohorts and his demons. A lot of people are off on a tangent and they find a demon under every bush. One lady went into her little 3 or 4 year old and up here in Johnson City, and he was afraid of darkness, and she went in and tried to cast the demon of fear out of that little child. Now that's going to seed on. But there are rulers of darkness, the word of God says, of this world, and against spiritual wickedness in high places. Every Christian needs the light of the word of God. Ephesians 5:8 says we are to walk as children of light. If you don't, and you can't, by the way, you can't walk as children of light without the Word of God. You just can't do it. It's impossible. And if you don't have the habit of reading the Bible every day, then you're not walking in God's light. You're walking in your own light. You know, when we don't read the Word of God every day, you know what we're saying? Lord, I don't need you today. I'm going to light my own fire. I'm going to light my own lamps. You know that? And here we go, if we don't read the Word of God and try to get something in the Word of God to guide us today and have meditation on the Word of God and maybe have fellowship with the Lord, we're lighting our own fire. We're striking our own match and lighting our own candle to shine the path for us. And folks, we can't do it. We can't walk as children of light without daily getting into the Word of God. So I challenge you, and I've challenged you ever since I've been here, 28 years, get in the Word of God every day. Every day. Get in the Word of God. My daddy was a coal miner and a fox hunter, I've told you many times. Usually on Friday night, he'd tie the dogs up on Thursday so they wouldn't go up in the mountains and run foxes all night. He'd tie them up on Thursday night, and at Friday night after supper, we'd go out and we'd get our hunting clothes on, and he'd go out and untie all those fox dogs, and here we'd start up toward the mountains. And Daddy would wear a coal miner's cap, an old carbide cap with you hook a carbide light on, right? How many of you have ever seen those? Yeah. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. I thought maybe you'd show your age, but some of you younger people have seen those too. But we'd walk all over those mountains in that little flicker, the carbide light flickers a lot. And we'd walk all over those mountains hunting with that flickering light. And it was a small light, and it would only light just three or four or five feet right in front of you, not very far. And when my daddy would take a step, the light would show a little bit farther. Take another step, and the light would throw a light just a little bit farther. And as a small boy, he'd start letting me go hunting with him when I was about 10 or 11 years old. And I'd be, boy, at night, I was scared to death out in those mountains, afraid to be a rattlesnake or a booger around every bush, you know. And I kept right on my daddy's heels out in those dark mountains. And just as my daddy kept walking, and that the light provided, that lamp provided light for him just a step at a time. And I was right on his heels. And you know, that is just what God's Word does for a child of God. It lights our pathway through life just a step at a time. Just get in the Word, and every step of the way, God's Word will lighten the way. So if you read God's Word and hide in your heart, you'll never walk in darkness. There's no way to walk in darkness and live in the Word of God. Now, in verse 105, we see the pathway has been found. You get the light of the Word of God, and you will find the right pathway. Then in 106, we see the pathway is followed. I have sworn, he found the path in 105. And now in verse 106, I have sworn, and I will perform it. I like that, don't you? I like that kind of determination to live for the Lord and follow His Word. He said, I've sworn it, and I will perform it, that I will keep thy righteous judgment. The psalmist said, I've made up my mind. It's settled. I intend to keep God's Word. Now, folks, that's the way we ought to be in our own minds. We ought to be settled that if God will show me what to do in His Word, I'll do it. That's the attitude we ought to take. Well, as the songwriter says, I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Then not only does the Word of God guide us in our walk, but in 107, it guides us in our weakness. I am afflicted very much. Quicken me, O Lord, according unto thy word. I don't know what kind of affliction that the psalmist had in mind here, but there's only one place he could turn in his affliction, and that was to the Word of God and to the God of the Word. He said, Lord, quicken me according to your word. Quicken me according to your word. Every time we have a trial in life, every time we have trouble, we ought to look to the Word of God for comfort and help and strength and direction. And I know in the major problems and trials that I've had in my life, I've gone to the Word of God. And if I, when I sincerely keep seeking God and seek some light and some help from God for the problem I face, every time God speaks to me through His precious word concerning that problem, that direction that I need. And many of you could say, many of you recently have testified to the same thing. So I urge you to humble yourself before God and search His word until you hear from heaven and God speaks to you, speaks to your soul through the Word of God. Now, not only does the Word of God guide our walk and our weakness, but in verse 108, It will guide us in this area of worship. Look at verse 108. Accept, I beseech thee, the free will offerings of my mouth, O Lord, and teach me thy judgments. Now, there were many free will offerings that an Israelite had to bring under the law. But the psalmist here was offering a far greater offering than bulls and goats and lambs and doves and other offerings. He said, Lord, I'm offering the free will offering of my mouth. And he said, Lord, I want my praise to be pleasing to you. And he's praying, Lord, accept the free will offering. Lord, of my own free will, I'm praising you. Lord, accept. Let it be like a, 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 the smoke off the offering coming into your prayer. Lord, accept the free will offering of my lips. Members of Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, we ought to give the tithe. The tithe is the Lord's. If we don't give the tithe, we steal it because it belongs to God. And we ought to give the faith promise offerings. We ought to give to missions, all offerings. But the greatest offering you can give is a sacrifice of praise that flows from your lips unto the Lord. That's the greatest offering you can give the Lord, is just praising. And you know, I believe we've had today, I'm glad, Brother Gary, you picked out the songs about Jesus. And as we sung about Him, in my heart, I wanted to praise Him. And I believe many of you wanted to praise the Lord today. And those, I'm sure, that praise offering pleased the Lord. And we, around Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, we ought to emphasize praising the Lord. Now, I'm not talking about coming here swinging on chandeliers or anything like that. But I'm talking about just sincere praise offering unto the Lord. And that type of offering is acceptable unto the Lord. In John 4:24, Jesus said, God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. And I believe this is what the psalmist is talking about here. He, first of all, he wanted to worship Him in spirit, and he said, except I beseech thee the freewill offerings of my mouth. Then he wanted to worship Him in truth, and he said, teach me thy judgments, or teach me thy ordinances. Now, let's move in briefly into the latter part of the final four verses of this chapter, or this stanza. And let me be brief here. In verses 109 and 110, the Word of God will guard us on our pathway. First of all, in 109, it will settle our fears. My soul is continually in my hand, yet do I not forget thy law. Now, he said, my soul is continually in my hand. You've heard people say, well, he took his own life in his own hands when he did that. You've heard that's sort of what the psalmist had in mind here. And the meaning of this verse is that in the midst of a life-threatening situation, when it looked like that all would be lost, the psalmist looked to the Word of God and found peace for his troubled soul. Then in 110, not only will the Word of God guard us from our fears, it will guard us from our foes. The wicked have laid a snare for me, yet I erred not, or erred, I guess is the correct pronunciation, erred not from thy precepts. And so the Word of God will provide security when our foes rise up against us, the psalmist said. David's enemies tried to trap him. What did he do? They try to fight back? That's what the flesh wants to do, isn't it? No. David meditated on the Word of God. He did not err from God's Word, and he looked to God's Word for direction and help. Folks, you've heard me tell this many times, but you know the Lord showed me to do that when I first got here. He taught me that lesson as soon as I got to Buffalo Ridge. Some of you were here and you saw it. I'll be brief on this one, elongate it because you've heard it before, but I just want to show you the Lord taught me this lesson. I've been here 28 years. About a year or so after here, we started voting on building a building. And then we voted 26 years ago, I guess it was. Betty was here. Betty remembers it. Betty knows now what I'm talking about. And then the fur started flying when we voted. And Betty, you made that motion. You got me in trouble, didn't you? Betty, I want you to roll up this altar and repent now tonight. Right there is what made the motion to relocate. I mean, they didn't teach me that, Bob Jones, right, Southwestern Baptist Seminary. You don't relocate the oldest church in the state of Tennessee. I found out the hard way. And so here we were wanting to renovate. And we were wrong. I'm glad, Betty, you were right and I was wrong. I hate to admit to a woman that I was wrong. She's right. I don't think I've ever admitted that to my wife, Alejandra. Where was I? I'm trying to get this church built over here now. But anyway, we voted to build the new relocate what is our chapel right now. And brother, one night when we voted to do that, they got petitions around. I never did see it. If I'd have found it, I'd have signed it to run me off and to not relocate up here. And met on one Sunday to vote me out, vote the song leader out, and after it's already built, not to move up here. Now I can laugh now. Bet it wasn't any laughing matter then, was it? And I just, this is my first church, only church I've ever pastored, and I don't think I'd ever been to a business meeting in my life before I got here. And so what was I going to do? And the Lord taught me how to pray. And on the Sunday morning, when they were going to meet to vote, were to come up here not going to vote me out, vote song leader out, they said. I met with my deacons in the house, and we prayed, and I said, you all go on over and get the church started. I'll go over on the lake and pray during Sunday school. And I got over on the lake, and brother, I'll tell you when they're going to vote not to build go up to a building that's already built and going to vote to run you off, you'll do some praying. I'll tell you, you'll get in the praying business quick, I'll guarantee you. And so I got over on the lake, walking up and down that lake and talking to God. And it wasn't any problem for me to get in the spirit of prayer that day, I'll guarantee you. And then I had just at the time that I had to come back to the church and preach that morning, the Lord spoke to me through Isaiah 43:2. And he said, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And the word of God says, I will, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. Brother, that gave me assurance in my soul that the Lord, I don't know how the Lord's going to do it, but he said, I'm going to be with you through the fire and be with you through the waters. And he said, they won't burn you and overflow you. And I was just foolish enough as a young preacher to go back and believe that. And I went back and got up and preached on the lame man at the gate, beautiful. And Betty, people come forward that morning. You were there. You saw it. We had four adults came forward, what, join church, rededicate to life, get saved or something. And then that day the deacons got around me and led me out of the church. And I got in my car and drove back over on the lake and prayed and thanked the Lord. Went back home and the storm was over. God saw me through it. And I'll tell you what, the Word of God can speak to your heart in a time of trouble. I thank God for that. That's why I love this old book, why I defend this old book and believe this old book. I mean, it's precious to me. It's precious to me. That's why I wouldn't go along with the core meeting up in Kingsport this week. There's some good men preaching there, the good men, but they're yoked up with liberals. And I'm just not going to participate in that crowd. But the Word of God is the reason. It's all a basis of the Word of God. Well, let's see one other thing here. In verses 111 and 112, the Word of God will guide us and guard us, and then it will gladden us on the pathway of life. I see two things in verses 111 and 112 that gladden the heart of the psalmist, and it'll bring joy to our hearts. First of all, the Word of God is our heritage. In verse 11, thy testimonies have I taken as an heritage. The Word of God, as the psalmist said, I've taken your word as an heritage forever, forever. For they are the rejoicing of my heart. Now I thank God for my national heritage. I'm glad I was born in America. Glad I was born in this country. And I thank God for my ancestral heritage, my family line. Down in Saudi, there are poor people, uneducated people. But even though some of them may have been jailbirds and may have been few of them may have been drunks, there wasn't a religious liberal in the crowd. Hallelujah. Those that were saved believed the old-time religion, believed the Bible. I'm glad I didn't have not one of my relatives rejected the Word of God. If they got saved, they believed in the old-time religion. And thank God for the mother and father that I have. My dad's in glory tonight. My mother, I saw her last week. And she's getting on up in years. But I'm glad that the Lord gave me a mother who believed the Bible and a father who believed the Bible. Now, our national heritage and our cultural heritage and family heritage is not our greatest heritage. Right here is the greatest heritage we have, the Bible, the Word of God. And thank God for the heritage we have in the Word of God. Then one other thing, in verse 112 here, it is our hope. The Bible, the Word of God, gives us hope. I have inclined my heart even to perform thy statutes always, even unto the end. Now the word end here is a direct reference to reward. The word used for end in other places is translated wages and reward. So the Word of God gives us hope for our pathway. It gives us hope that we're going to see Jesus someday. The Word of God says one day Jesus shall descend from heaven to shout. The voice of the archangel. The Word of God tells us one day, I can throw these glasses aside. One day, we can walk without a limp. One day, after these old bodies have decayed, one day, we'll have a body like Jesus' body. And the Word of God tells us one day, we'll see our loved ones again. And one day, we'll be reunited on the other side with all the saved of all the ages. Then one other thing about verse 112 before I conclude this. The psalmist said, I have inclined my heart, not my head, not just his head. He said, I've inclined my heart, in my heart. I've decided in my heart, in my soul, that I'm going to live for the Lord and obey his word. And he says, I mean to do it even unto the end. I like his determination. He is going to go all the way through. He's not going to give up. He's not going to get weary in the way. He's going all the way with the Lord. I'm reminded of a boy who told his mother that he's going to leave home. There's a lady sitting here that's very familiar with this leaving home business. I look at that right now. I didn't mean to look at you on that. But it was sort of funny now. It wasn't funny then. But anyway, she said that he told his mother he's going to leave home. And she said she didn't want him to go. She said, son, I'm going to have a light burning in the window every night until you come back home. And this boy, as it was told, he stayed away for many years. He even went away to a war for several more years. And when the war was over, he came home. And as he was on his way home, he thought, he said, I wonder if there will be a light in the window. He said, my old godly mother said there would never be a night that there would not be a light shining for me. And as he approached the old home, sure enough, late at night, as he approached the house, all of them were in bed, but yonder twinkling in the window of that old home was the light. And I'm glad to tell you tonight, there is a light for the child of God. Thank God you can have a light in your soul and carry it in your heart, and it'll shine on the pathway every step of the way that you take. And that light is the Word of the living God. Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. That's a precious stanza. Isn't that a great portion of the psalm there? Thank God for His Word. Don't you love the old book tonight? It's a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Now as we come to the conclusion of another service, another day of preaching and teaching the Word of God, maybe God has spoken to your heart tonight. Maybe there's a spiritual decision you need to make. Maybe there's somebody here tonight, you've been failing to read the Word of God. And you've been lighting your own light, and you'll surely fail in the light of your own. When you light your own light, you'll fail. But the Word of God, if you'll get in the Word of God daily, the Word of God will light the pathway for you and give you direction. Maybe you need to come to this altar and ask the Lord to forgive you for failing to read His Word and make a holy vow that you'll start reading the Word of God every day from now on till Jesus comes. Determined like the psalmist, you'll perform it unto the end. Maybe you're not saved tonight. You don't know the Lord. You don't know Jesus. You don't have a heart experience with the Lord Jesus Christ. You may be a church member. You may have been baptized. You've never really been born again. You ought to come tonight and settle this thing. You want to rededicate your life or join the church. Let's just, with heads bowed and eyes closed, Brother Garrett, let's just sing, "All to Jesus I Surrender. All to Him I Freely Give." And if the Lord's speaking to your heart, with heads bowed and eyes closed, just slip down to this altar, talk to the Lord about it. If you want me to help you and pray with you, you come to me. And let the Lord have His way in your life. Maybe you just want to come for prayer. Maybe there's a crisis facing you. You need God's help. Just slip on down here. Talk to the Lord about it. Let's sing.
All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give.
You come on. If God's speaking to you, come on. Let Him have His way in your life.
Trust Him in His presence daily live. I surrender.
Let's just sing the chorus one more time. If you're coming tonight, if God's speaking to your heart, come on. Come down. Get up where you're seated. Come on. Come on down this altar. Come to Jesus. Come for prayer, whatever it is. On the chorus one more time.
I surrender all. I surrender.
Thank you.